Hello and welcome to UCA News Weekly Summary, your guide for news and information about and of interest to the Church in Asia. I am Joe Matthews. Rights groups have long accused China of using the term xiejiao, or evil cults, as a tool to delegitimize and criminalize religious groups that fall outside state-sanctioned doctrine. In the latest move, communist authorities in China's business hub Shanghai have offered training to children to become little guardians of the community, with slogans and scripts designed to vilify xiejiao, the illegal religious groups. The authorities had earlier mobilized children to distribute anti-xiejiao flyers. Xiejiao are dozens of religious movements and cults, such as Falun Gong and Church of Almighty God, banned in China for allegedly spreading heterodox teachings. The children were encouraged to recite anti-xiejiao rhetoric, distribute pamphlets, and even perform skits that demonize religious minorities. State-run media published photos that showed children brought to a real courtroom to participate in a mock trial. Under the guidance of actual judges, they assumed roles as judges, prosecutors, defendants, and defense lawyers, reenacting a criminal case in full procedural detail and sentencing xiejiao members to heavy jail penalties. Indonesian politicians agreed on Sunday to cut their substantial pay rise amid hopes of ending the week-long riots across the country after they awarded themselves a $3,000 monthly housing allowance while doubling their take-home pay to around $6,000. President Prabowo Subianto, while warning that looters and rioters would face the full force of the law and potentially charges of treason, did not provide exact details surrounding the controversial packages. The pay raise is equated to about 10 times the regional minimum wage and 20 times more than the country's poor can normally make. Almost 1,000 people were arrested by Monday, and at least 200 protesters and 25 police officers were hospitalized, with local media reporting clashes between riot police at various locations across the country. In national capital Jakarta, the situation was made worse after a politician described protesters as jerks and labeled them as the dumbest people in the world. His house was among the first to be looted, and a fleet of luxury sports cars was smashed. Father Flaviano Antonio El Villanueva, a member of the Society of Divine Word, was named a winner by the Ramon Magsaysay Award Foundation on Sunday. A self-confessed drug addict until 1995, Villanueva later became a lay missionary and joined priestly formation in 1998 to be ordained a priest 8 years later. Besides his regular ministries, he established the Arnold Janssen Kalinga Center to serve the homeless and marginalized with dignity and compassion in Manila in 2015. He also became a strong advocate for human rights and justice. He was one of the fiercest critics of former President Rodrigo Duterte's deadly anti-drug war that led to extrajudicial killings of up to 30,000 people, according to rights groups. During that period, Villanueva joined activists to locate the bodies of the victims and conduct funeral services before burial. He also offered counseling to the families of the victims and gave decent burials for the drug war victims. India's Supreme Court has cancelled a government move to acquire prime land owned by the Bombay Archdiocese for the rehabilitation of slum dwellers, saying it was against the principles of law and justice. The case concerns a 1,596 square meter plot of land owned by the Basilica of Our Lady of the Mount Trust in the upmarket Bandra area, in the heart of India's financial capital, Mumbai, earlier called as Bombay. For decades, the land was occupied by huts or informal settlements. In 1978, the state government of the western state of Maharashtra, of which Mumbai is the capital, declared it a slum. In 2019, the Church Trust opposed a redevelopment plan by the slum dwellers and a private builder, while asserting its right to redevelop the plot. The church's alternative plan, submitted in May 2021, was rejected by the authorities. Earlier in 2024, the Bombay High Court struck down the acquisition process, saying the Church Trust's rights had been overlooked. Muslim leaders in military junta-ruled Buddhist-majority Myanmar have accused the authorities of intentionally withholding permission to rebuild the quake-destroyed mosques. The March 28 earthquake with epicenter in Sagaing killed some 5,300 people and destroyed thousands of buildings, including mosques. Several Muslim leaders say the junta seems to be following a discriminatory policy, allowing Buddhists to rebuild their temples while withholding permissions for mosques. In Mandalay, Myanmar's second largest city near the epicenter, 59 of its 65 mosques were severely damaged or collapsed in the earthquake, according to a trust that operates the city's Keok Masjid Mosque. He said that 33 of the 59 severely damaged mosques have received approval for demolition from the junta's Ministry of Religious Affairs and Culture. The remaining 26 mosques that applied are still awaiting approval for the demolition of damaged buildings. In at least one instance, the junta police prevented worshippers from even entering the mosque grounds for prayer. Four Korean Catholic organizations led by Bishop Pius Moon Chang-woo have opposed a proposed revision to a law governing maternity and childbirth and have handed a protest note to Park Ju-min, chair of the National Assembly Health and Welfare Committee. Moon expressed concerns that the debate regarding the changes in the maternity law had become a topic that everyone wanted to avoid and be quickly resolved due to sharp confrontation between opposing sides. Speeding up the process to make amendments to the Maternal and Child Health Act should seek harmony between the right to life of the fetus and a woman's right to self-determination, Moon emphasized. Earlier in July, lawmakers Nam In-soon and Lee Soo-jin of the Democratic Party of Korea proposed changes to the law, which drew strong opposition from the Catholic Church, Protestant groups, and the medical community. They had proposed removing existing legal restrictions on abortion, permitting abortion pills, and applying national health insurance to abortion procedures. Thai Foreign Minister Maris Sanghyampongsa met state parties of the Ottawa Convention in Geneva last week and submitted a protest letter accusing Cambodia of violating the International Mine Ban Treaty after a sixth Thai soldier was injured in a mine blast along their disputed border. The 1997 Anti-Personnel Mine Ban Convention is an international treaty that bans anti-personnel mines. A total of 166 states, including Thailand and Cambodia, have ratified the treaty. The soldier was badly injured after stepping on a landmine near the Ta Kwai Temple ruins in Thailand's Surin province. Cambodia has categorically dismissed the allegations that it planted the mines as baseless. The meeting also came after Cambodia announced that some international demining organizations confirmed the mines discovered by the Thai side were remnants of past conflicts, not newly planted. However, Sanghyampongsa alleged that several more landmines were discovered with clearly visible factory markings and no signs of vegetation or rooting, indicating that they were newly planted. Sri Lankan President Anuradhapura Dissanayake paid a courtesy visit to the iconic Catholic shrine on Kachathivu Island dedicated to Saint Anthony. His visit is the first by a head of state in 5 decades to the once civil war-plagued northern region. The shrine draws pilgrims from both Sri Lanka and India. However, this year's annual festival in March was relatively somber amid the territorial row between the neighboring nations. The visit on Monday came amid ongoing unease and dismay among Sri Lankans over claims from various Indian quarters, including politicians, that the tiny island across the Polk Straits belongs to India and should be taken over. Dissanayake reportedly vowed to protect territory by committing to safeguarding Sri Lanka's seas, islands, and landmass. India and Sri Lanka signed an agreement in 1974, ceding territorial claim on Kachathivu to the island nation in the Indian Ocean. That's all we have time this week, but you can get more stories on ucanews.com, stories on web, audio and video from Asian regions catering to global audience. Your moral help and financial support is highly appreciated. Contribute on ucanews.com/donate to help the reporters cover more. Today's producer was Binu Alex. As usual, I will be with you next week, and until then, goodbye.